You're listening to the Muslims Down Under podcast. In this podcast, we reflect on topics related to Islam and Muslims, those that are often ignored or misinterpreted. Open your mind to understand what unites us and become mates with Muslims.
Experience
intersection between religion and contemporary and relevant topics.
Welcome back to another episode of the Muslims Down Under podcast. My name is Sana, and as usual, I am your host for this podcast, and I am an associate editor with Muslims Down Under. Quick recap on what this second series is about. If you've been listening to the previous episodes, you'll already know that this series has a focus on addressing topics that demonstrate a practical path, showing us a way of life. So using sophisticated learnings to become a sophisticated person who is then able to actually live life within this world in a balanced way. And in line with that theme, the topic that we're going to be discussing today or having a conversation about today is healthy living, which of course is very important, or having a healthy lifestyle is very important for everyone. But something important to note is that, of course, we're not experts ourselves, but we want to share what it is that we've learned and what has worked for us in our lives to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and what has worked for us in terms of understanding habits that work to improve our health and also hopefully be beneficial to you guys as well. And I think this community is about us sharing what it is that works for us and sharing insight, of course, using research and other methods to support what it is that we're saying. But in essence, it's about a community that wants to help one another. So there's, of course, quite a bit that we want to cover in this topic. There's a lot that we can talk about. So what we're going to be doing is actually splitting this episode into two parts. So all the information that we discuss is easily digestible for everybody. It makes sense, and it's in a form that you can actually take on board and, you know, hopefully implement in your own lives. So this will be part one of healthy living. And then next week, or, you know, the next episode will then be part two of healthy living. As with every episode, I don't have this discussion on my own, and this episode is no different. So today I have joining me is Bushra. Welcome back. Peace be upon you. Thank you for joining me again. I love our conversations, and I'm looking forward to discussing healthy living and what that means with you today.
Peace be upon you as well, Sana. Thanks for having me again. It's great to be back, and I'm really looking forward to a very interesting and useful discussion ahead.
And if you've been listening to our previous episodes, you will know that we begin each episode, and before we actually jump into the content of the episode, we like to find out what it is that you, our listeners, the general public, think about the topic that we'll be discussing. So for today's topic about healthy living, we had a chat to some people, you know, in the public, people that we know around us in our social circles. And so let's listen to what they have to say.
For me, healthy living is more than just physically exercising or having a healthy diet, because I feel like when we hear that somebody is living a healthy life, we think that, oh, they must be exercising every day, going to the gym, or they must be on a keto diet or something like that. But for me, being an occupational therapy student and knowing that health is holistic, and also looking at the World Health Organization definition of health, which states that health is more than just physical health. You have your emotional health, your spiritual health, your social health, your mental health, and they're all interlinked. And so personally, I've experienced that when I'm not exercising or when I'm not physically active, then my mental health is affected. Or if my mental health is affected, then I won't eat healthily. Or if my spiritual health is at a low, then that will affect all forms of health for me. So for me, healthy living is making sure that I have those checks and balances in place, that I'm looking at my emotions, I'm regulating them, that I'm looking at my mental health and making sure that the content that I'm taking in, especially in today's climate, is good content. And, you know, it's things that won't affect my mental health, won't make me sad, or won't make me frustrated or angry. It's knowing that nobody is perfect and I'm going to disagree with people, but I can't let that get to me personally. And that's part of my mental health. It's knowing that I need to take an hour out for myself every single day to, you know, maybe go for a walk or do something that gets me physically active. So it's keeping those checks and balances in place. And that's the biggest thing for me to live a healthy life.
My take on healthy living is balance and moderation in relation to lifestyle choices and activities. So the usual things like eating well and exercising, and by this I don't mean eating greens forever. I like mixing it up with meat. Some argue I have too much, but anyway. And even carbs and chocolate. I love it, but in moderation. Exercising is important for me on many levels. I think we understand the physical aspect, but more importantly, exercise helps with mental health. Exercise allows me to get out there and literally put on pause whatever stresses I have happening at work or in life. It allows me to breathe and contemplate. Having one or two hobbies are also important. It breaks the week for me, but also involves the family. So I suppose healthy living for me is a mix of working hard, but more importantly, enjoying the extracurricular activities.
For me, healthy living is a very broad topic that is not just limited to healthy eating or exercising, though these are also an important aspect of it. But beyond that, healthy living includes being healthy mentally and spiritually, and building healthy relationships and habits. Having a healthy lifestyle is about that balance between all of the aspects that I've mentioned. And an analogy that often helps me to perceive the topic of healthy living is that when you plant a tree and you wish for it to grow big and give fruit, just giving it water will not give you all of those results, you know? Rather, things like the amount of sunlight it receives and the type of soil also play a vital role in helping that tree to go healthy. And healthy lifestyle is something very difficult to achieve, in my opinion personally, which is why I ask for assistance and help from God Almighty to grant me the strength and the ability to do that.
So listening to these opinions from the public, it's good to hear some great things about this topic they've shared with us.
Absolutely. So now we can jump into the topic and the actual discussion. And I think a great way to start would be, you know, let's just have a discussion about what does it actually mean to be healthy?
Yeah, as human beings, you know, being healthy just means that we are in a state of well-being. And this includes all aspects of our being. And all these different aspects of our health, they support and affect each other. And they all act collectively to, you know, work together for us to be able to function.
Now that seems simple enough to understand. So what are these different aspects of our health?
So, of course, one of them is physical health. And this includes things like diet and exercise and hygiene as well. And another one of them is mental health. So our thoughts. Are our thoughts positive? Are they realistic? Are they functional? Are they helping us complete our day-to-day goals and tasks?
Yeah, and I think as part of our mental health, it's also important to separate and understand that emotional health also plays a really big role in our overall health. And I think the awareness of our feelings, you know, both that are positive and negative, and the ability to actually regulate them in a healthy manner impacts our overall health. And I think that's something that a lot of people will have realized just through personal experience and things that happen in their lives. And then also on top of that, we have to think about our social and behavioral health. For living healthy or for living a healthy life, our relationships and interactions with others also need to be healthy and functional. They need to have purpose. They need to add something to, you know, our life.
And then another one is spiritual health, you know, how our connection and relationship with God is.
Yeah. So of course we've discussed, you know, different aspects, but how do all these aspects relate to each other? And can I ask you, do you think, or do you know, do they all need to work together?
So when all of these areas are balanced and working in harmony, we can achieve well-being and optimal health. However, we know that health is fluid. It's constantly changing. And so, you know, we need to regularly work on finding this balance. And naturally, the balance that we're looking for will be different at different stages of our lives. For example, if you're a student during exams, your attention may be more focused on studying. And so things like sleeping on time or your diet or even exercise may take a backseat. So this might affect your physical health. Or sometimes, you know, you feel like you need to focus on improving your mental or spiritual health. So you might decide to focus on yourself, to seclude yourself, to take some time off. So our health doesn't experience a linear journey. It's always something we're working on to make it better. But a healthy lifestyle must include healthy habits, and it can be difficult to change old habits, but there are steps we can take to become healthier. And, you know, personally, as an example, I knew I had some unhealthy habits habits at one time. And I think the most important first step is identifying those less healthy habits and then replacing them with new positive ones instead. And for me, it was to reduce my coffee intake. So there was a period of time when I had really young kids and I was studying and just, you know, trying to stay awake and manage everything. And I developed the habit of drinking a lot of coffee throughout the day, which wasn't really healthy, of course. And but recognizing that it wasn't good for me was that first step for me to then do something about it and replace it with a healthier habit instead.
Yep, absolutely. And being healthy, of course, will look different for different people. And what is important here is that we shouldn't compare ourselves to others. Just like everything that we've actually spoken about so far in this podcast, it's about focusing on you specifically. So with regards to healthy living, it's about focusing on our personal physical, mental, spiritual growth, our emotional health, our behavioral health. And it's also important to remember that developing these healthy habits and making a change is something that can take time. It can be gradual. So we should focus on making these small changes that then build up into small habits. And you need to pick things that are achievable. And then, you know, when you can make that change and you find that that change is something that, you know, is achievable for you, is something you can manage, then it's more likely to become a habit, right? So with me, what I can kind of look back on is with regards to looking after my physical health, I knew that when I was jumping into trying to change my habits when it came to my physical health and exercise, I didn't need to think that, okay, I need to go every single day and I need to go at 5 o'clock in the morning and I need to, you know, be really good at it. It wasn't anything like that. I realized that I need to focus on going at least once a week. And once I make that once a week a habit, if it's something I end up enjoying, I'm going to stick to. And if I'm able to go once a week, I feel that sense of satisfaction, right? That I'm actually doing something and I'm not just thinking that, you know, I might eventually go exercise and then the actual thought of exercise being something that becomes daunting and then I never go. So an achievable change for me was going from not going at all was going once a week. And eventually, once that became habit, I was able to go more often. And it was something I ended up enjoying. So, you know, to take that back, whilst it was a small change, and it was something that I had to gradually build up to, once I did, I felt that sense of satisfaction. It then became something I was able to stick to. So now we've discussed obviously a few aspects of health. Let's start by looking at each of these aspects of health just mentioned earlier, but individually. And quite fittingly, let's start with physical health.
So when it comes to physical health, I think, you know, we all understand that eating well, exercising, sleeping well, all of these things contribute to our physical health. But I think these are also those things which are very easy for us to neglect. You know, without going into specific details of what a good diet is or what a good exercise routine is, I think there are some key things that we can focus on and implement in our lives. And I think the most sort of easiest thing or easiest place to start with would probably be maintaining balance. So making sure we have a balanced diet, making sure we're getting exercise throughout the day, making sure that we have a good night's rest when we're sleeping. And, you know, as we've discussed previously as well, every person will have different needs to achieve their optimal balanced physical health. And this will depend on things like their age, their gender, the amount of activity they're getting throughout the day. So, for example, you know, if you have a desk job and you're sitting all day in front of your desk at work, then it's a really good idea for you to incorporate some form of exercise after work sometimes so that you can get the daily exercise you need to, you know, maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Yep. And another important aspect related to physical health and balance is overindulgence. So whether it's food or exercise, whatever it is, we need to maintain a balance. And a part of healthy eating is finding a balance. Now, it's perfectly okay to eat comfort food or have a treat. I think that's something that no one can ever say you shouldn't have, especially if it's a part of a celebration or a special occasion, or you just feel like chocolate, so you eat chocolate. I think when we try and abstain from things for a long period of time, or we stick to these, you know, crash diets or exercise programs where you are completely excluding a particular item of food or completely getting rid of, you know, something that you love, often you can't sustain them long term because of the fact that you miss it. So, you know, if I were to think about something for me, if I wanted to move on to a path of healthy eating and I tell myself, nah, no sweet things at all, I know I wouldn't be able to stick to that for very long at all. I have a sweet tooth. I love sweet things. It's just about not eating in excess, and it's about having a couple small things here or there or having a special treat once a week. But it's about limiting, not completely, you know, abstaining.
Yeah, I think you've described it really well as well. You know, again, it just comes down to keeping that balance, which we were discussing earlier. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, actually encouraged people to have a good breakfast early in the morning, to always have a light dinner in the evening, and discouraged overeating. And he would say, fill the stomach one third with food, one third with water, and leave one third empty. And the Holy Quran also actually forbids overeating, where it says, eat and drink, but do not overeat. So this practice of eating less to prevent sickness and disease was actually emphasized by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and is now backed heavily by science, as we can see.
Yeah, and the Islamic concept of one third for your food, one third for your liquids, and one third for your breath matches very closely to a Japanese concept known as harahachibu. And I probably haven't said that correctly. However, what it means is that you eat until you're only 80% full. Moderation is highly important in eating, along with movement for a healthy lifestyle, along with everything in life. Moderation is key. And rather than these crash diets or difficult gym routines, trying to be moderate in the way that you approach things is very important. And I think personally, it will help you to be able to maintain your goals. And it's proven that moderation in eating and gentle exercise can be more consistently maintained. And consistency is often the key to, say, better results, because it's at least something you're doing in small increments over a long period of time, as opposed to devoting, you know, a week going really hard, you know, with one specific thing, and then finding that you're either just burnt out, or you just find that it's not giving any results, so you don't stick with it. And healthy living is about something that you can maintain. It can't just be something that works for a day or a week, because that's not living a healthy life. It's living a healthy week.
There's also the concept of eating slowly and eating mindfully. Through science, we now know that it takes our body 20 minutes to send signals to our brain to say that it's full. So slowly eating will help you eat less food and also improve your digestion. And it was also a practice of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which he did himself and also strongly advocated for as well. There's also guidance about diet in the Holy Quran, where it highlights foods that are safe and worth consuming. So it says, so eat of the lawful and good things which Allah has provided for you, and be grateful for the bounty of Allah if it is Him you worship. And the explanation of good things in this verse means something which is good for your health. So the Arabic word being tayyib. And this can be different for different peoples relative to their constitution as a person. For example, sugar could be tayyib or good for one person, but not tayyib or good for a person who is diabetic. And similarly, the Holy Quran also forbids things like drinking alcohol, smoking, and eating pork. And so it lays a solid foundation for a healthy lifestyle by restricting consumption of unhealthy foods and drinks. And I think another thing is that there's also recent evidence that shows that it's not just the food we eat, but our timings and patterns. They also have a profound impact on our health. Research has identified the best time to eat breakfast, the best time to eat lunch and dinner. So, you know, for breakfast at 7 a.m. and lunch around midday, and dinner always before 7 p.m. And there's also, I think it was published in the European Heart Journal, another study that shows that regularly sitting down to dinner after 8 p.m. can actually add an extra 2 inches to your waist. So that's like the equivalent of 2 dress sizes for us as women. And this research suggests that this difference could be because we have evolved to use up energy during the day and not so much at night. And so our mechanisms, the way that our body functions, actually slows down as we get ready for sleep. This reduces the rate at which we process food at this time of the day.
Now, with the concept of healthy living, of course, diet and physical health is important, and that's what we're talking about. And you might have actually heard the concept of intermittent fasting. That's a really big thing, and I think a lot of people advocate for it, and a lot of people use it as a method of trying to live a healthy and balanced lifestyle. But did you know that fasting was a regular practice of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him's life, and not just during Ramadan, the month of fasting, but overall in his life? And this is similar to the intermittent fasting practice. And we all know, and if you've read about it or you've heard about it, fasting has been proven to balance hormone levels, prevent oxidative stress, and reduce overall inflammation. And when you think about it, in a practical sense, the less food that you put into your body, the less it focuses on digestion, and the more it can focus on healing itself from, say, certain ailments. But That doesn't, of course, mean skipping meals. That can be detrimental to your health, and we need to eat. Diet is a very important part of our living. But fasting is a defined way of giving our bodies rest while still consuming the nutrients that we need to nourish our body. And the process of intermittent fasting is a little bit different to, say, fasting for the whole day. But what it is, it's about building these habits in your life and these practices that, you know, you don't need to do every single day, but you do them, you know, at small, not necessarily small points, but you do them at different points in your life to just help you, you know, give your body that break and to kind of refocus, center yourself and then look towards how you're going to live this healthy lifestyle of yours.
Yes, exactly. And I think after our diet, exercise is probably the next most important habit we have when it comes to physical health. And, you know, in this day and age, it's just so easy to get distracted, to become lazy. We're so busy and there's just so many forms of distractions like our phones and other technology. And so essentially to be sitting and not moving throughout the day, it's not good for our physical health at all. So it's important to develop a habit, set yourself a reminder or portion out some part of the day where you do get your daily exercise. And here it is important to also note, I think, that, you know, when we say exercise, we are referring to movement rather than other forms of exercise. So, I mean, other forms of exercise are definitely beneficial as well, but as long as you're moving in some form or another, that's what's essential. And it's proven from studies that ensuring that you're constantly on the move during the day, whether it's walking, working in the garden, doing your chores, whatever it is, as long as you're doing some form of gentle exercise, it's going to be beneficial for your health. And it's also more easily achieved consistently as well. And, you know, we see various practices such as Tai Chi, which is a gentle mind-body healing exercise performed in a tranquil, graceful way to keep the mind and body fit. And as you said, in Islam, the daily performance of five prayers isn't itself a form of exercise. Its prescribed movements involve all the muscles and joints of the body, and concentration in prayer actually also relieves mental stress as well.
Now, in addition to food and exercise, something that you might... I think actually it's something that has become more prevalent recently and something that there's been a lot more focus on is that we all require rest and sleep. And that's very important to maintain a physically healthy lifestyle. Having adequate rest and having adequate sleep allows your body to kind of rest, of course, rejuvenate, do what it needs to do to be able to let you live your best and to try and continue to live a healthy lifestyle. If you think about it, all living things require rest after activity. Animals, human beings, bugs, everything, because activity, of course, entails wear and tear of living tissues. If you're exercising really hard, that presents its own sort of wear and tear issues. But think about just your general living. Your body goes through a lot of stress in a day. And if you're not allowing your body to rest, well, then it's not going to be able to repair itself. And sleeping enough and at the right times, depending on what your particular needs are, is very important. And healthy sleeping also has many aspects to it. It's not just going to sleep at night or getting your 8 hours of sleep, but things like not sleeping after a heavy meal. It's inadvisable to go to sleep soon after an evening meal, of course, because your body is still digesting. Like, you can't just go to bed straight away. But, you know, the old adage that after supper, walk a mile holds good at all times, because it's important. Help your body digest. Once it's digested and done everything it needs to do, then you can rest.
Yeah, and then there's the hygiene aspect of our physical health as well. And this includes things like bathing every day, brushing your teeth, keeping ourselves and our environment clean. And, you know, this might seem like small things or things that we don't need to be discussing about or reminding each other about, but not brushing your teeth when they're not done properly can actually lead to other severe issues. So things like tooth decay and plaque. Poor dental care is also a risk factor for several other serious health issues, including heart disease. And so if we do have poor hygiene habits, they also affect our self-esteem, which also affects our mental health then as well. And good personal hygiene, it's also one of the best ways to protect yourself from getting viral diseases as well, like gastro or like we've learned in the past 2 years, infectious diseases like COVID and also colds and flus as well. So keeping good personal hygiene will also prevent you from not only keeping yourself well, but also spreading these diseases to other people as well. So cleanliness is also an important part of Islam, and caring for one's hygiene is not only deemed a good habit to have, but also it's part of the rituals that constitute our faith. So keeping oral hygiene is considered sunnah, so the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he is narrated to have said that, were it not that I might overburden my followers, I would have commanded them to use the miswak, which is a form of like a toothbrush, before every prayer. And ritual ablution is also very important. And when done properly, you know, we do it 5 times a day before our 5 daily prayers. It also helps maintain good hygiene for Muslims.
Yeah, and I think all of this is so important. And I think we've already discussed quite a bit, and there's probably a lot there that you want to digest. So we'll give you a moment to do that. And whilst you're doing that, we'll take a quick break and we'll hear what our sponsors have to say.
MuslimsDownUnder.com is sponsored by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community of Australia. Learn something new from our website or our social media pages, or sign up to meet an Aussie Muslim for some coffee and Islam. If you want to know more about Islam from our sponsors, visit their website, What is True Islam, at trueislam.com.au, a subsite of Muslims Down Under, where we provide resources, articles, and video lessons on various aspects of the teachings of Islam.
All right, so let's move on to the next aspect of health that we mentioned earlier, which was mental health. Now, mental health is, of course, super important. And I think especially with the pandemic that we're going through right now, it has become an even more important thing to look after. But what is mental health and how does it affect our overall being when it comes to keeping ourselves healthy, Bushra? What do you think? What have you learned? What sort of light can you shed on this?
So mental health includes our emotional, our psychological and social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, how we act. And having positive thoughts and a healthy mindset, they're also key to our health. Mental health plays a huge role in our general well-being. And I think, you know, we often think of our mind and body as separate, but our mental and physical health are really interconnected. There's actually studies which have found that positive psychological well-being can reduce the risk of physical diseases like heart attacks and strokes and other chronic diseases as well. And on the other hand, poor mental health can actually lead to poor physical health and developing chronic diseases or even developing, you know, harmful behaviors as well. So physical health problems, they significantly increase our risk of developing mental health problems and vice versa as well. And, you know, while research does show that people with mental health diagnoses are more likely to have preventable physical health conditions, there are things that I think we can do to keep ourselves mentally active and mentally healthy.
Yeah, like exercise. Physical activity is, of course, a great way to keep you physically healthy as well as improving your mental well-being. A lot of people have been talking about this recently. We've heard a lot about it. Physical health really does help with your mental clarity. And research has shown that doing exercise releases those feel-good chemicals called endorphins in the brain that makes you feel happy and makes you feel good and gives you some sort of clarity. And I don't mean any sort of extensive exercise. Even just a short burst, say of 10 minutes of, say, brisk walking can help improve your mental alertness, your energy, and also your mood. So look, it could be whether, you know, it could be something like tending to your garden. Maybe you're running a marathon. Maybe you are doing, you know, something else. All sorts of exercise can significantly improve your quality of life because it really does help with your mental clarity. In saying that, though, we also need to be more in touch with nature as well. You know, as well, grounding, walking barefoot on the ground sort of thing, being intentional, you know, being outside with nature, being one with the things that are natural in life and not our computers, our laptops and all of these things. A lot of the time when we're exercising or we're doing something that we think is good for our health, we're often scrolling our phones or we're, you know, eating while watching TV. We're doing things where our body systems are in a sympathetic state instead of a parasympathetic state, which can cause things like digestive issues. And it can also lead to other stresses in the body like unhappiness. And you can have a toxicity buildup of food because foods aren't digesting properly because you're mindlessly eating or you're mindlessly scrolling. And when you're doing something like exercise to help with your mental health, scrolling through your phone and, you know, constantly being inundated with what's happening in other people's lives isn't going to give you that mental clarity or that break in your own life. Even things like having a really stressful day at work, whilst nothing in particular might have happened, a lot of that stress can actually have a negative impact on your mental health. And sometimes just going for a run or a walk or literally just feeling the wind in your hair allows you to be able to you know, take a moment, take a breath and recenter yourself. And that's something that I found that running does for me. And I have never enjoyed running long distance. I would never call myself a runner. But recently I've gotten into just running because I have felt that need of just feeling the wind on my face or just feeling a little bit free, which I know sounds really cliche, but when you're at work from 9 to 5, sometimes longer in an office building, you really only go outside for a quick lunch break and then you're in the building again. And you're always on a screen, whether that be the computer or your phone or something else. What happens, I found anyway, in my personal life is that you're just, everything just gets to a point where there's just so much. Your eyes don't get a break. Your body doesn't get a break. And sometimes just going for a run, I like to go for a run at the beach. All of that just helps me take a break, watch the ocean, hear the ocean, and all of those things I found have been really grounding for myself. So maybe it's something like that that might work for you. So I think being more in touch with our body systems and actually taking the time to understand what is working for you will allow you to be more efficient at fixing certain problems that we might find within ourselves. And not problems, you know, in a negative sense. I just mean things that we need to tend to or things that we realize need a little bit more care. And then all those things can help us, you know, naturally better ourselves and avoid us becoming a burden on, say, the healthcare system.
Yeah. And, you know, on this, I think it's just so important to take time out when we need it. I think it's considered very hard to do because it's not the norm in our, you know, busy lives where we're just trying to constantly do more to achieve more. But when we relax, when we give ourselves permission to let go of our worries for a little while, when we relax our mind and body and give it the time it needs to recover from the stresses of day-to-day life, it actually helps us overall to achieve that well-being. And, you know, as human beings, we do tend to get distracted very easily. And it is because of this that I think most, you know, big businesses and corporations, they also ensure that their employees actually follow a routine. You know, you have a set time that you're supposed to arrive at work, you have a set time for your morning tea, you have a set time for your lunch and set time you finish work. And these routines turn into habits that ensure that people become accustomed to a work ethic. And this does improve productivity, but sometimes these busy routines and habits may end up causing, you know, more harm than good, honestly. You know, if you do have to do the same thing every day at the same time, it's not going to be good for your overall health, I don't think. And so, you know, taking time out, it's just so important. And different people do this in different ways, but there are things like meditation and prayer. And meditation and prayer have so many benefits, and studies have proven that when they are practiced correctly, these tools can put us on a path to understanding and breaking our bad habits and even heal our diseases. So, you know, prayer helps our brain disconnect from old synapses and develop new ones. And there's also research backing the idea that meditation and prayer can trigger the release of feel-good chemicals in the brain, which then obviously helps us to de-stress and relax.
And look, in Assam, we have the regimen of the 5 daily prayers that we read at prescribed times. And Assam has enabled the building of a good habit of remembering God multiple times a day. And what's more is that prayers are like a timeout from the stresses of life. They're like that moment where if you go for a run and you feel like you're just not focusing on anything, prayer is like that moment. You're just being mindful, present in the moment, present before God and present in your prayer. And in an age where, you know, we've spoken about this before as well in our work life episode that, you know, there's so much interest in meditation these days and finding ways to reduce the stress of our modern life. And the 5 daily prayers could not be more useful for that because it is that moment where you are, you know, my mom always likes to say that just like we have to plug our phones into a charger to charge the battery, prayer is that charger for our spiritual growth. And we need that moment 5 times a day where we are present before God and not distracted by anything else, genuinely just present there, having that moment and taking that break. And that's why the 5 daily prayers are so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, when a Muslim takes that 10-minute spiritual break from their worldly pursuits, it only helps to soothe his or her mind. Our minds are constantly, perpetually thinking about things, you know. Prayer is a mean to tap ourselves out of those thoughts and pay attention to something greater and find our peace. And, you know, that's exactly why God says, it is in the remembrance of Allah that hearts can find comfort in the Holy Quran.
Look, I think this is probably a good place to cut and make it, you know, part one of the series, because we've presented quite a bit. And I think just like everything we've discussed here, the importance of balance is, and staying healthy is absolutely fundamental. And we've discussed quite a few things here with regards to the different aspects of physical and mental health and certain ways that, you know, we've implemented it in our lives. So
yes, I think we've covered quite a bit in part one of this episode. So I do agree now is a perfect time. And I do look forward to joining everyone for part two of this episode.
So this, of course, haven't covered everything. In the next episode, we're going to have a guest interview and we'll go into our book recommendation as well. So we look forward to you joining us in our part two of this episode. And in the meantime, if you haven't, you can catch up on our previous episodes as well on whatever podcast platform is of your choice. But until that next episode, peace be upon you and join us on the next episode of the Muslims Down Under podcast.